That was the very first Michael Jordan product. And what's even more fascinating, it came with an instructional video. So Larry Jordan, Michael's older brother, once you play the video, he's showing you how to do all the moves, the layups, the dunks and all that sort of stuff, which is cool. And on the B-roll is MJ playing against some other people in like a gymnasium, but Larry does all the talking, which is, to me, just amazing that that would be packaged together. What?
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan! Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. Today, I've got a special guest talking to me about something that I think everybody that has listened to this show over the years, you know, we're 6-7 years into this show, and I feel like this is something that is a guaranteed connection with everybody that's listened, because we all kind of connect over sneakers, but there's all those like next to sneakers things that we all love and obsess over for whatever it is for your passion, right? So Josh here is going to introduce himself in a second, but he has probably one of the craziest stories I have ever heard connected to this culture that we love, because he lives in one of the most remote cities on the planet, and yet he has an amazing collection of Michael Jordan, let's say paraphernalia, because it's going to encompass a lot of different things. But Josh, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to hear your story, even just in knowing you a little bit here in the beginning and through social. This is going to be one of our best episodes. So introduce yourself and let people know who you are, where you're from, and what you're here to talk about.
Firstly, thank you very much for your time and this opportunity, Nick. It's something that I've been very fortunate to have. And I apologize if you can hear my daughter crying in the background. My mother-in-law's here at the moment taking care of us, so full apologies for that. It is quite a small house. My name is Joshua Devaney. As you mentioned, I'm from Perth, Western Australia, if not the most remote, isolated city in the world. And I guess my passion and my lane and my pure interest is Michael Jordan toys and figurines. So I do have a love and collection of sneakers, as you can see beside me. But it's certainly Michael Jordan toys that have, it fuels my passion and my interest every day. And I've been very fortunate to, I guess, find myself in a lane which nobody sort of occupies. And to me, I've found that very fascinating that nobody has sort of taken that on.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things that I think we all are familiar with, right? If you're into sneakers, you know, to a certain level, I guess, you saw all of this with Michael Jordan, with the Bulls, with, you know, Air Jordans and Nike, and the consumer side that kind of grabbed us all and got us all excited. And then we connected with each other through the years. And it's like, I feel like I'm still, you know, 30 years on, but I feel like I'm that 16-year-old kid that's like, absolutely, dude, this guy has the coolest collection. Like, I got to talk to him, you know? So, but what I think is really interesting too is like, just to hook people into this episode, you mentioned Luke Longley in just a few minutes ago. And I just thought, you know, it's just like, so it's so perfect of a story, right? So talk a little bit about that. Cause I think, yeah, being remote is one thing, but also like one of the most important people in the Michael Jordan basketball dynasty is also from your hometown.
It is. And being the first Australian ever to play in the NBA, like that's a badge of honor in itself for him to get over there. Obviously, he started, I think, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, then eventually made his way to Michael. A lot of the Australian eyes, we're talking, what, 96 there on, I think it is, to 98, was heavily focused on that because Luke was there. And for him to win three championships with the Bulls was absolutely amazing. I've actually met Luke myself, I want to say 2021, so 5 years ago. He did a speaking tour here. And I knew I was going to meet him backstage because I won a VIP meet and greet.
Awesome. So I
was super excited. And I was probably 15th, 16th in the line, just getting ready for it. What I prepared and took with me, Nick, because everybody took something to get signed, I did as well. But I gave him one of Michael Jordan's first figurines. And actually, talking about signing it, this is the one that he signed. So
that's amazing.
So this is the only known championship teammate signed figurine of Michael Jordan's first figurine. Plus, I gave him one of these as well.
Wow.
Which he was very grateful for. And just an amazing experience that you coming from here, and I share that sort of commonality, obviously, it does not get lost on me. Like there's something magical about, you know what I mean? Like the remoteness and yet the connectivity at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, so I guess explain that a little bit, because most of our audience is going to be in America and Canada. And, you know, we have a few people spread out all over, but I'd say the bulk of our audience is in America and Canada right now on this podcast. And, you know, I guess my first question for you on that is like, how do you watch the games back then? How do you even get into the sport back then? And then how did you even discover that first figurine? And what was that like that got you locked into this?
All right, let's start at the beginning. There was a few questions you had thrown at me there, Nick. Wow. I guess games. So games were shown here at that time at midnight after the Dave Letterman show. I remember that. And you'd only get one game on a Friday night, if I remember correctly. Before that, it was magazines, posters, and somebody might have had an older brother or cousin overseas who via either a phone call or a letter would let you know bits and pieces. So we sort of got dribs and drabs. My first earliest NBA encounter was when I was in primary school. And I have a brother who's 2 years younger than me, and he started before me liking Larry Bird. Now, because him and I are polar opposites, of course, I chose Magic Johnson. And I'm a diehard Magic Johnson fan to this day. I'm loyalty to me is everything, so I still love Magic Johnson. Other than that, trading cards in the 90s, even over here, was a huge thing. So I guess we could gather a little information. But trading cards was still a big thing. I still have a lot of my NBA cards from high school, my Magic Johnson cards still. So that's a great memory.
Yeah.
How did I start into toys? Well, in 1994 for Christmas, my parents bought me a Michael Jordan hoop. Now, a lot of my stuff's in storage, Nick, so I was able to pull something out. And forgive me for the glare.
My goodness.
This is the advertising piece for the hoop that I received in 1994 for Christmas. So as you can see there, there's two kids dunking. And what it was an extendable 7-foot high breakaway rim hoop.
Yep, I remember that.
That was the very first Michael Jordan product I had received. And what's even more fascinating, and I think I've lost it, unfortunately, is it came with a bugger. I had it. It came with an instructional video. So Larry Jordan, Michael's older brother, once you play the video, he's showing you how to do all the moves, the layups, the dunks and all that sort of stuff, which is cool. And on the B-roll is MJ playing against some other people in like a gymnasium. But Larry does all the talking, which is, to me, just amazing that would be packaged together.
Awesome. Yeah. What a different time, too, like to even think that would be, you know, at this point, it would be all so perfected and it would be scripted and it would be so polished that they would never even think to do something like that. But to have that just makes it that much more cool to me, more special.
It does. And I've bought a VHS player not long ago to rewatch it. And it's just, I think it's even on YouTube. It's quite fascinating to think that let's just throw Larry in here. I mean, Michael always credits him for being the player that he is because, you know, Larry used to, you know, beat him a lot. But to have, I don't know of any other product or anything where Larry's involved like that. You know what I mean? Like it's, and that was my first introduction to Michael Jordan toys. So to me, that's, I still get excited about it now. So my daughter's 2 and I can't wait for her to get a bit older and we're going to start, you know, playing on it and doing different things and sharing that memory.
Yeah, of course, man. That's so cool. I remember that so clearly too. Like we my brothers and I got a, you know, like a generic hoop like that right around, you know, a couple years before that. But when that one came out, it was kind of like, oh, we could have the breakaway rim because we just had the regular kind of indoor garage kind of, you know, we just knocked it over every time, basically, and picked it back up, started over, play again.
Wow, yeah, the breakaway ring was certainly a great added feature to it. And my memories from playing on that at that time with my brother and my friends is really what led to me buying back that toy decades later, 2015, I think. And I've missed a lot of information, but that's just real short. That's what started this whole collection. Me looking for that hoop, which I found with the original box, with the VHS, everything, buying that back. Oh, actually, look, there it is right there in front of me.
Yeah. That is so cool. So you were able to find that hoop? Were you able to find like a new version of that?
Not a new version. It was a obviously one from back then in 94, but it had hardly been played with. And it's hard to find anything like that with the original box.
Yeah.
And fortunate for me, I mean, this is pre, obviously, Last Dance, pre, you know, when things are starting to go crazy. I was very fortunate to find many different Jordan products unopened coming from America. So thankfully to all those people who took great care and preservation of this, it's now landed in my collection. But to me, packaging is equally as important as the product. Because that's what you see on the store shelves. That's, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, when I got this, I would have ripped it open and not cared two hoots about it. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to play the hoop. But to have that back now in its original form with the video and all that, that, to me, adds so much more to it. Plus, as I just showed you, the original, that's from the toy catalog. You know, the advertisement and stuff like that. That all now tells and incorporates that story just from that first piece that I had.
Yeah, I mean, to have that framed like that too is so cool. Like, it's kind of like the dream of all of, you know, I think back to some of the just obscure things that I collected through the years of, you know, I think the first Michael Jordan thing that comes to mind now that we're talking, we got a Michael Jordan sleeping bag that was, you know, like it was just, you know, like we used it, my stepfather and my mom, we camped a lot. So, you know, that was like the way for me to still feel connected to the things at school and playing with my friends and stuff, but like also gave me like something, you know, from the very beginning, like, and it was a, you know, kind of a, I don't want to say generic, but like, it was very much like a, you know, we even got it used. Like my mom found it at one of the, you know, thrift stores back then, but it was like probably a maybe like a Kmart or a Target or something unbranded, just Michael Jordan with 23 on it. And, but like, you know, it's evolved so much that like back then we didn't care. It was like, it has Michael Jordan on it. That's all that mattered, you know?
Yeah, he put his name on a lot of things. I mean, he could have done a lot more, but he covered, we could talk for a long, long time about what he covered, but a lot of things from AMF bowling to, do you make watches to obviously, like the list goes on and on. It's just amazing. And there are people out there passionate about all these different things. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, And you've got memorabilia, merchandise, obviously me, toys, people, shoes. It's great when we all get together or talk individually like we are doing now, because that shared experience is unique, but as I said, collaborative and similar at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you go from that hoop to, you know, the rest of the figurines and the rest of the toys?
All right. So if you remember just before I told you, I'm a huge Magic Johnson fan, still am, my favorite player of all time. So what I did is I found that hoop and I went looking for Magic Johnson toys because I thought, okay, I want a challenge. And I looked on Magic Johnson toys on eBay. I think there was only 27 items. And I thought, oh, that's not going to do me, Nick. You know what I mean? Like I need something a bit more. I went to Michael Jordan, back to the Jordan where I found the hoop. And it was, I think it was nearly 30 pages. Now that to me presented a great challenge. So I thought, you know what, let's go ahead and try to get one. I actually ended up getting doubles and triples of a lot of things. So I, in my mind at that time when I started, I pictured a retail store and my home, and I wanted to have, you know, like one behind the other, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to, so that's how it took off really. And I just became so interested and passionate about finding and discovering new things. But this toy behind me is what really took it off for me, because these were coming in clear plastic bags, and I found out very quickly who the company was. So let me, I'm going to show you what I consider to be the rarest, and certainly it's the first, but probably the rarest Michael Jordan figurine at the moment. So this one here, and I'll show you comparatively one side by side. The one, this one here, as you can see, has a white chest. So above the singlet is, that's a factory floor, and he has, oh, I hope I can show it correctly, he's got reverse swooshes. So that was done, that was done in a factory in Hong Kong in 1987, and out of, the toy company told me there was 48 made. I had 32. I say had because I've gifted some to some important and prominent people that I've wanted to share that with. And I've never seen another one like this. I have seen probably another 10, so we're close to that 48. But this is what we consider to be, and this is the one that's been featured on Google magazines, stuff like that. Let me just break it down for you. So Nick, I told you I came to America in 2019. When I returned home, Woody from Sneaker Freakin' magazine reached out to me and said, would you be interested in doing a feature? And I said, absolutely. So in issue 42, there it is there.
Yep.
I got a 12-page feature. Thank you. Shout out to Woody and Sneaker Freaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they got that out there, and then it's just managed to find different avenues, venues, you know what I mean, media platforms. But going back to the story, so these came in clear plastic bags, and I couldn't fathom. I had 16 at the time. I couldn't understand why they did that. And I work in so Perth is remote. I work in the top part of Western Australia in the desert, which is even more remote. So while I'm working in this hot, remote environment, I'm thinking about this toy back home in a plastic bag, and I started to get angry and annoyed, to be honest, because I'm like, how could they do that to Michael Jordan? He's the greatest of all time. You know, what the hell is going on? So I picked up the phone one day, found the phone number for Ohio Art, which is in Bryant, Ohio, and I think it was 10 o'clock my time. I rang them and got a hold of the archives lady there, and she's like, slow down, who are you? Can, you know, because my accent and all this. And I explained to her, I have all these toys in plastic bags, and she was confused. So can you please send an email with your query? We'll get back to you in 28 days. So on the 27th day, I emailed him back, said, look, I'm really curious and excited to hear what you've gonna tell me tomorrow. And I get an email back from a lady saying, unfortunately, that lady you spoke to has gone on annual leave. Can you please resubmit your inquiry? And 28 days later, we'll get you an answer. I'm like, oh, Nick, I'm very patient. Man. This time on the 27th day, I decided to send this lady a bunch of flowers to help get it over the line. So I did that. She was very happy. And she came back with this information. She said, look, we don't know how you got this. And I explained to her, obviously it was eBay. She goes, yeah, but these were a promotion. Well, okay, so this is going to be a bit in depth here at the same time. So what happened is when Michael Jordan, oh God, I could go back even further, to be honest. What happened is Michael Jordan, when he signed his, we'll start here. I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth. But what this is, what you're looking at is the original photograph promotion for Michael Jordan's first toy line. This is the original photo. And there you can see him and some young children. I'm going to try to bring this in for you to see. But just above that cabinet is a young boy. And in front of that young boy is the figurine. I don't know if you can see that there.
Yeah.
Just there. This is a figurine. So that's the original promo photo of Michael Jordan's first toy line with Ohio Art. What I also have, and I've been fortunate to gather over time, is the original press release that Ohio Art sent out detailing what what the first toy line is. I know it's hard to read, but this is from 1988. Those photos were taken in 1987, June 16th. And the reason I know that is because the local newspaper from Bryant, Ohio, had that advertised in their local paper. So that's the birth of Michael Jordan toys, June 16th, 1987.
Wow.
With this photo in the local newspaper. They then go on to release the press release saying what the four toys in that line were, which were hoops, one over the door, one, oh, here we go, here, look. See, I'm doing pretty well today, I'm organized. That's the toy line there.
Wow, yep.
So included in these products was this free poster. Now, that's from the Jordan 2. Oh,
yep. All right. I remember that poster, yep.
So here we are here. This is where the story starts. That's MJ there with a young boy with that figurine.
Yeah. Right?
And it says it includes the 8¾-inch Michael Jordan action figure. So it actually states a Michael Jordan action figure. And I've gone and blown that up. So we have MJ photographed with this figurine. All right. When the toy gets released, this is what's really cool. This is one original inbox unopened. It was called the Little Horse Basketball. All right. Now you can see MJ on the front, but what seems to be missing is the Michael Jordan figurine. They used a white figurine based loosely on Larry Bird. But again, as part of my storytelling, the year before MJ signed on, this again is unopened. Everything. This is from the year before. It's the same figurine.
Wow.
So minus MJ, then you bring this one in.
Wow. That is crazy.
So they've just reused the same figurine and put MJ's face on it. Now, I've come to them with this information. I'm like, what's going on? And they said to me, they go, well, actually, it was never meant to be sold or released due to a lack of popularity. I said, but have you ever photographed and promoted a toy figurine with a, certainly with a star athlete, that would never be sold or released? They said no. So I said, what do you mean by lack of popularity? Because popularity, as we know, Michael Jordan's status, even today, Nick, is still like this. Popularity means when they go to test the toys in the room full of kids, they gravitated towards the year before one, the white figurine, as opposed to the Michael figurine. So that in itself is fascinating. And this is, it had existed in America for 3 decades until I'd come along, got angry, made a phone call. I actually traveled over to the toy company myself in 2019 because they told me they had some in their archives room. Now, they've been around for 100 years, and they're well known for making what's called the Etch-a-Sketch. And I have one here because when I visited the toy company, they gave me a blank Etch-a-Sketch. And from there, I went to Chicago where I met up with an Etch-a-Sketch artist, and I said to her, I said, you know what would be great? She goes, what? I said, if you could put this image on an Etch-a-Sketch for me, which is...
My gosh, that is awesome.
Now, wow. the process she goes into to making this, because I can turn the knobs and nothing happens, she cuts this in half and removes the excess product. That's been seen on YouTube nearly 6 million times. So this is a well-viewed Michael Jordan art piece, I guess.
Wow.
So that ties into everything. So that's just one part of my story. Like, that's how I guess my name and I guess my passion found its purpose, I guess, Nick, because I was just so curious to know, why would you put him in a plastic bag? If I had not asked that question, if I had not made the call and done all that, this toy would just be happily sittingly quiet somewhere. And it was always known as the starting lineup. The Kenner figure from 1988 is known as the rookie figure, but we have proven without a trace of doubt, this was the very first figurine. It just was never sold or released, but was produced. So that is in itself is a rarity. Then put into the equation that this one has the two factory floors from the rest. We're talking about something that it's not even monetary value. It's just historical value. You know what I mean? So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah.
And I have a photo of when I was in America 2019, I went to Portland, Nike headquarters, even the Michael Jordan building. And I've got a photo of me with Howard White holding this as well, which is so cool.
That's amazing.
So cool. It is. And that was an unexpected meeting, which shout out to my friend Casey. When I was there, I was just in the building and in the lobby. He goes, "You need to speak to this gentleman over here." And I'm like, "Who is it?" He goes, "Don't worry about it. Just tell him everything you know about this toy." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. That's that I can do easy." So, "Hi, my name's Josh." I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Talking obviously a little bit slower because of my Australian accent and this, and he's looking at this toy and he goes, you need to speak to the Department of Narki Archives." I said, "Funny you should say that. I was chatting prior to coming here to the head guy, I think his name was Rick Shannon at the time, from the Department of Archives, and on the one day I'm here, he told me he won't be." I said, "So I've been doing some investigating in that." And he goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "Look, I could tell he was needed to go." I said, "Look, I'll let you go, but before you leave, is there any chance I can get a photo?" And I'll never forget this. Howard, I didn't know his name at that time, but he said to me, he goes, "Does the toy take the photo?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, my wife over there does." So we got the photo and then he left. And then we get the tour with Casey at Nike and we go back to the hotel and he finally texts me. He says, "Google Howard White." "Howard White? No, who's Howard White?" I said, "Oh my God." He goes, "You've had that moment with Howard. What he would have loved most is that, one, he could tell you didn't know who he was. And two, you probably told him something about Michael Jordan because he's known MJ for such a long time that he wouldn't even known himself." So he goes, "That would have been absolutely probably fascinating to him." And I said, "Well, thank you for not telling me who he was, because then I would have had a preconceived idea." You know what I mean? So it was. And Nick, I'll just finish that story by saying that since I left in 2019, Howard and I have remained in contact on Instagram DMs for the last 7 years. I share everything I've done since I've come back. So the magazine, everything I've done, I've shared with him to say, "Look, do you think this falls in a line with the ethos of the Jordan brand storytelling?" Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm seeking his approval. I'm just clarifying that what I'm doing is, I think eventually will be considered to be part of the legacy storytelling. Do you know what I mean? And I always wanted to make sure I'm respectful of it and I'm doing everything I can from here to make sure that it's being credible and it keeps the in alignment with the Jordan brand.
I mean, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's so, I mean, we've only talked for a half an hour and I know just in this conversation, the journey, how magical that's been, right? Like,
thank you.
Having that photo with Howard, sending the flowers, like it makes sense because you're so passionate about it. You know, like it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, kind of like we were talking earlier, even where you find people that are passionate about something and all of a sudden, like, you just feel how important it is to them, how connected we all are and how important, like, the things that you're passionate about. If it's not this, we can talk about the same things and understand so much. Absolutely. About that, you know, obsession and that chase and that, like, just desire for the knowledge, because there's so many of those little things that happen in sneakers, right? Where it's like, you know, I tend to buy shoes that I know somebody who is connected to it. And that is a blessing and a curse, because I know a lot of people and I don't get to wear the shoes that I have. But, you know, it's important for me to support them first and foremost. But then it's like, oh, well, I didn't realize you worked on this one with this person, with that person, on that one. And then the roots, you know, like I was saying earlier, like the roots just keep going and they branch off a little bit. And the next thing you know, you have, you know, the figurine that's got the two mistakes on it. And it's like, well, how did that even happen?
And look, and now I've got the, do you know what I mean? So they released, finally Enter Bay released ones with the airship.
Wow.
And that's what I was saying to Howard. I said, this to me is based on an airship. At that time, they are working behind the scenes to release it for Christmas. So this was in, I was there in the beginning of March. Christmas that year, 2019, is when they dropped the airship pack with the New Beginnings, I think it was called. So it's just amazing that, you can see there, like I said to you before, I'm going to Portland this year. I've been waiting to wear these shoes. What a perfect event for me to wear these. Nyack Airship, where I was 7 years ago talking to a gentleman. It blows my mind, to be honest. It really does. It's amazing.
It's so awesome, man. It's so awesome. I'm just excited to have you share this story with me and whoever else is going to listen to this, but just like excited for you to have this opportunity to come again. And, you know, like,
thank you.
I mean, there's just no telling where the story will end and how it can go,
right.
How big it can get. And, you know,
exactly. And what I can tell you without a word of lie, I remember I started buying one at a time. By the time I had the second one and I hadn't had my room laid out or anything, these were just sitting on a box with plastic bags. I swear I never forget walking in and looking at them and going, there's something special about these toys. I couldn't tell you what it was. Like, you know, I mean, they weren't in boxes. I said they're in plastic bags, just sitting there. I mean, these are actually functioning toys. So this came, inside that box is this. So it's a toy hoop.
Yeah,
And you can play a horse. And this shoots, it says from 5 feet. I have with my friends, we've practiced. Look, I've shot it from probably 9 feet away. Do you know what I mean? Like it's an actually functioning toy. So I get so excited because a lot of the toys since are storytelling pieces, but a lot of them are also dust collectors. They just sit there and don't do anything. This, you could imagine the children's memories that were robbed, the experiences from not being able to play with a Michael Jordan toy because it was never sold or released. That's what gets me and still gets me excited. And I say to people all the time, you know, we gave the world the Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. I'm Josh Devaney, the Michael Jordan toy hunter. You know what I mean? I get that same passion and vigor about it, but it's shifted from crocodiles to toys. And thankfully toys don't bite like crocodiles. And, you know, God bless Steve, rest in peace.
Right.
But we share that.
I love that.
When I hear him talk, I feel that exact same way about Michael Jordan's toys and his legacy. You know what I mean? So it's just
amazing. That is incredible, man. Do you, in all of this, you know, diving into that specific toy, mm-hmm. have you ever seen or like discovered anything connected to that version with the Airs on it?
No, I tried to reach out to Nike initially because I think this could be one of their first associated toy products. And I've also said that because of the way the agreement was with between Michael Jordan and Ohio Art, Nike, because it's intellectual property infringement, there could be every part, and they're not saying that they have, or that's been the hardest part, is trying to get answers from something from 30 years ago, well, nearly 40 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. And I really appreciate the archives lady from Ohio Art. She really did a lot of work for me. She could sense that I was passionate. And unfortunately, ever since that discovery, she keeps getting phone calls and emails. And she's like, Josh, what door did you open? Like, she goes, I now tell them to call you because we deem you the expert. And what I didn't tell you, because I forgot, was when I went to their archives room, they said they had these. I turned up with a suitcase with 7 of these figurines and that box hoop, right, unopened. And I'm looking in the room. I go, where are they? And she said, we can't find, we don't. I'm like, so you're telling me, here I am from all that way, and I'm in your archives room now with the product that you said you had, and you'd initially, crazy, Nick, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I haven't really, but as I said, along the way, which is really important, is adding pieces to the storytelling and I guess the prestige, which is like the original press photo and the original press release. And I guess you can Google this. Look, this is not a brag, but this is certainly truth. You can Google Michael Jordan's rarest toy and up it comes. And, you know, you'll see my ugly mug with this toy. But if you Google Michael Jordan's rarest shoe or rarest jersey, like Michael Jordan in that product comes up first in the search. And somehow I've managed to, dare I say, supersede Michael Jordan in his own Google search for his own toy. And that, to me, is, I guess, recognition in itself that my passion and my interest has been able to, and it all started from Woody, and I can't ever deny that. Like, once I got into the magazine, doors and avenues opened up, and this all started, Nick, because I wanted to buy back a toy hoop that I had at Christmas 1994. That's it. That was it, you know what I mean? I present myself a challenge because Magic Johnson didn't have enough toys, and you know, I find in this, and it's, do you mean, like, it's just been a discovery for 11 years. And when I say still discoveries, I'm now going to hospitals to talk to sick and terminally ill children using the toys as a vehicle. But the story behind it, much like Michael Jordan's, is keep showing up. And that's those three words that keep coming back to me. Keep showing up and things happen. You know what I mean? If you're sick today, keep showing up. Tomorrow might be a better day. If you like to draw, keep showing up. Keep drawing, you'll get better at it. You know what I mean? So I've been fortunate to use this. And that's why I call myself a historian and not a collector, because I don't want to insult anybody out there, but, you know, sometimes, let's just reframe that. In my mindset, for me personally, if I was a collector, I'm almost a borderline hoarder. I'm just, you know what I mean? Obtaining and then, but.
You don't got to tell me. I deal with that with my sneakers every day, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, as a historian, I'm sure that's probably a category you find yourself in. Sharing, educating, inspiring, motivating, using what you have to do and be of service. That's a big word I always focus, service, to be of service to others, be of service to the brand, to be of service to the legacy. That's where I find, I guess, myself most passionate, because I'm not hoarding and holding on to it. I'm sharing it to helpfully inspire and bring joy to others.
Yeah, man, I love that so much. And it's so true too. And I think, you know, even just in talking about your experience with Howard, right? Like being able to, you know, when you go to Portland this year, you'll feel like I can't put it into words.
I've reached out to him again.
Yeah. And you'll realize that like there's so many people with that similar mindset of like doing good. And, you know, it's something that we've tried to do with this show, that I've tried to do throughout my career even, is to just keep moving forward. And like, there's so much narrative out there on the other side that's, you know, the negative things about it and, you know, the bad things about sneakers, the bad things about sneakerheads and like the collectors and like all of that stuff. But it's like, when you don't pay attention to that and you just continue to do what you feel driven to do, and you talk to people about this stuff that you care about, you end up having conversations like this, where it's just like, yes, this is what we're all supposed to be doing. Maybe not everybody's supposed to chase that one particular, you know, narrow lane of, you know, Michael Jordan toys, but like you could, there's a million lanes that, you know, maybe somebody wants to chase that Magic Johnson, you know, maybe they want to start with the shorter list of toys to chase, you know, and like, then you start to realize, oh, like you learn ways of doing it too, that like all of a sudden you're like, well, now you're in front of a completely different audience again. And somebody will reach out and say, man, I either have this or I heard of this, or did you ever look at this or think of this? And the next thing you know, like the roots go a different direction. You're like, yeah, this is just impossible to slow. And it's just such a beautiful thing, because it's just like, it's like a giant tree growing from it all, you know?
You're very true. And if I can do it from here, Nick, and I think that's part of the story, being in this remote, isolated place, I always say, let the isolation become your motivation. Don't let it distract you. Thankfully, we have the connectivity of Instagram and all this these days. My job and journey would have been far harder if I didn't have that connectivity.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I guess whatever you've leaned towards, like, as I said, I didn't come into this thinking or becoming the Michael Jordan toy historian or this discovery. It led itself to that path. And I think that's even better, is I didn't set out for this. I just wanted to buy back a hoop that I enjoyed and had the nostalgia and the memory of from 1994. And that, if it was only just that, I would have had enough satisfaction. Thankfully, so much more has opened up. We're talking today now about it and because of it. And it's, as I said, it's led me to so many people across the world. Great relationships, but more importantly, open doors. So for the last couple of years, Nick, I've been asked to come back to my former high school, which I didn't even graduate from, to give speeches to the year 10 students in about finding your own path and passion in life. And that, as well as helping the kids in the hospitals, has become probably my most fondest, greatest achievements, because it's reaching newer generations who might, well, they obviously never saw Michael Jordan play. Sure, they probably hear about him or recognize the logo, but I'm reintroducing that with different formats. And I think, to me, that's the whole thing, is I don't believe even Michael himself values, understands, or probably even appreciates the toy side, because that's when you talk about future generations and reaching people. I think toys introduce kids to his legacy at that age, and then shoes and all that, which is still very, obviously very important. I think they find that probably at a later stage, but as the younger stage, toys is where I think it's at.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier being into trading cards and how big it was back then, and I was showing you, you know, cards that I just recently picked. I'm not a card collector or you know, I just, I'll see something that triggers a memory and think, oh, I should just get those, you know? And I think that element of it too has changed so much, right? Like, you know, when we were younger, when he was coming up in the NBA, there were only a handful, you know, of choices even for the trading cards to find of his, right, compared to, yeah, what exists now. And it's hard to filter through all of that stuff for the younger generations. And I think that's a huge part of what we try to do with this show is, like, you know, I close out my like outro always says, you know, tell someone you like their kicks today, because you never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of a compliment, right?
Absolutely. Great.
And that fundamentally, I say that because I have so many friends that I've just said, oh, those are cool. And now years later, I'm like watching their kids grow up, you know, like, and all it was is like a little olive branch. And then it turns into so much of what you just can't imagine. And, you know, you're proof of that in so many ways. Being so remote is so cool too, that, like, you know, had you started this journey maybe 10 or 20 years earlier, you might've run into so much more frustration, and it could have taken you a completely different direction with it, you know?
Yeah, you're correct there. Frustration, not because I haven't achieved anything, but frustration for information, connectivity.
Yeah.
I guess product itself would have been a lot more difficult to get. So no, you're 100% on the ball there. And sometimes alignment is just being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
With the right attitude. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't seek anything from it but to pursue my own interest. And thankfully, things have happened in a way that I get to sit here and chat with you now. And that may not have ever existed if we both didn't find our passions and then, you know, way things work and then come together, you know? So it's wonderful.
Yeah. So how did, you know, from that, you know, like how has that spun off into other parts of the toy world for you?
Gee whiz. So obviously after that, I still buy a lot of Jordan products, but the Pop Funkos now and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Look, I don't have every toy, and I do that on purpose because I want that hunger to exist. You know what I mean? 11 years deep.
Yeah.
And I've got that same mentality as day one. I guess what it's done for me in the toy world is, as I say, I've met and had communication with a lot of toy people. I had he's a CEO of a toy company. I reach out and wanted do a partnership into creating Jordan toys and stuff like that as well. That's still, I don't like to talk about it because, you know, things are still happening behind the scenes, and you always hope that, you know, you don't speak it too much into existence and then ruin the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus signing NDAs and stuff like that. So you've got to be very careful about what you can and can't say. But I think what it is, Nick, is I keep being of service to the brand. What's the word I'm looking for? Without official authority, because I'm not looking for a thank you or anything from Michael Jordan, because what I'm doing now is what my true path is sharing and inspiring. Do you know what I mean? Like, imagine hanging your hat on saying, I've met Michael Jordan and he said this, or he didn't say anything. Okay, well, you've led yourself to disappointment. By me doing what I do, I fulfill my own needs and I feel like a success already, if you know what I mean. Like, I do it freely and I do it as many places. I did Oz Comic Con in January this year, which is on my Instagram. That was a great event because now I'm introducing his toys and legacy to an audience that might not, you know, they're there for Pokemon or something, but dad who's with his daughter he come up to me after, oh, thank you, because I'd forgotten about this or that. And do you know what I mean? So it has a way of always maneuvering. I guess what I'm probably most passionate about now is obviously, one, I'd like to do a book like you've done coming up in the future, but I'd also like to design toys for Jordan. I want to do more storytelling, stuff that hasn't been appreciated or even looked at, because all we've been thrown at the moment is Pop Funkos. And yeah. I see so much more, Nick, from my experience with the historical archive of what I have, to see how it's tapered or whatnot, but to see what's been missed. Do you know what I mean? So I can sit here in my room and pick out and go, okay, well, we need to tell that story. We need to do this. Introduce. So I feel like I'm of value, and I'll probably have to do it myself without being prompted, is I want to keep the storytelling alive through his toys. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's really important that we reintroduce, because that story of his and his multiple, it's not giving up. It's believing in yourself. And, you know, before the boardrooms and the billions of dollars, it was just a boy with a ball, a hoop and a dream. That's what it is, man. You know what I mean? Like, we now see the multi-layered success because of what he did, but you strip back that and it's just the guy with a ball, a hoop and a dream and a passion. And I think all of us, girls included, we find that narrative and we can use it in our own way. And I think that needs to be harnessed and keep being told. He's just the physical representation of greatness. And I think that we all have that within us. We just need to keep telling that story in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. And thinking about one of the things you said about, you know, if he remembers the toys or you know, even thinks about that stuff, right? Because, like, obviously he's gotten so incredibly successful beyond basketball, right? Like, you know, with his racing team and with his golf stuff, and like the brand itself is so much bigger than it ever was. You know, what's really interesting to think about too is there was just this, you know, your example of Magic Johnson is the perfect lead in to the story. Because, you know, I'm probably the cutoff of, like, you know, age-wise, roughly. I got to see Magic play at the Forum when I was, you know, when he, like, one of his last seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was not a Lakers fan, but, like, I wanted to go because it was like, hey, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. There's only a few games left. He won't be around. And you know, a friend and I went, and his level of greatness was Michael Jordan didn't come into the league levels above. He came in, you know, probably levels below and grew above.
Absolutely.
But like, even at Magic Johnson's level, you know, there wasn't the same level of let's commercialize and make all these toys and tell all these stories. Michael Jordan was like almost like the switch that we all kind of flipped on with. To say, yeah, this is something that inspires us across everything we touch, not just basketball, but like it can be the toys, it can be the cards, it can be the sneakers, it can be, you know, all the things that we were sold, but also just all the other things that those moments and those things and those experiences probably inspired people that worked. You know, I think of like, you know, McDonald's deals back in the day.
Yeah,
like there are people that got to work with Michael Jordan before he was super, super famous, and how important that was in their trajectory of their life to be like, wow, I just got to do that. What can I do now? You know?
Yes,
we look at it and think, oh, it's a McDonald's commercial or something like that. But like, there's a bunch of people that got a really cool opportunity to do something that they love with Michael Jordan because of those commercials, even, you know, on a very simple level, you know?
And I think how cool, and part of, I'd love to catch up with like these kids. Like, where are they now? Like, do you remember that moment? What was, like, that could be a book in itself. Like, this is the first introduction of his toy line, right? This is pre-Kenner, pre-starting lineup. Here he is with his own, and to find out what their memories and that were as well. Because Larry Bird and Dr. J had signed to Ohio Art before Michael.
Yep.
Having them there would be easy to attract Michael over once they're there. And I think it's just amazing that you know, these toys, as you say, like they I think they represent, and I've probably harnessed in on this for 11 years, an undervalued and underappreciated aspect of his legacy. He himself doesn't appreciate, because it's now the NASCARs, it's the, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other things that he, but when you strip it all away, and I wish I had the book, but I don't here in front of me, is I've got the Rare Air book. Remember that from the 90s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have that.
It's,
yep.
there's two images, I think, halfway through where Michael's laying on the couch with his wife, Juanita, at the time, watching their sons dunk against on each other on one of these toy hoops. So you can connect Michael emotionally back to those toys. He's just been focused on other things. But when you strip it away, and I think that's how you reintroduce it is emotionally. And I will tell you quickly, Jasmine, Michael's oldest daughter, posted, might have been 2020, 2021, a toy hoop, her son, I hope I pronounced his name right, Rakeem or Keem, dunking on one of her dad's vintage toy hoops.
Right? Wow.
It comes to me to find out that the guy who had sent it to him is this guy. His name's William Kilgallen. So he's part of the family from Ohio up. He's obviously a grown man now. He sent it to, this story gets better. He sent it to Jasmine. A year before that, he reached out to me on Instagram and said, I had one of those toy hoops. I had a flood. It's been damaged. I said, well, I've got two. I'll send you one. So I sent him that hoop the year before. He then sends that hoop to Jasmine. So Michael Jordan's grandson is playing on a toy hoop that really essentially came from my collection the year before. So you can tell Michael, like, generations. I've got story. I forget things and then I'm reminded of things. Michael Jordan's grandson's playing on a toy hoop from generations before, but connecting to his grandfather through the hoop. And I think that's how you get to him. You say your sons, your grandson have all connected to you through the art of play via your toy hoops. And I think that's where the connection lies. And then you branch it out to Team Jordan, because obviously that's gotten a lot bigger. And then you can go back to historical things. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I see it all connecting. And I've been fortunate to have my hand on different elements of it.
There we go. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
So
just cut off.
That's all right.
But I can hear you when it cuts off though, so it's still good for the recording. So
yeah, cool. Yeah. Just amazing. I've never talked about the shoes or anything yet, you know? Like, it's just it's insane. Well, like,
so we're going to have to do another, we're going to definitely have some more conversations about this, because I feel like we could do this for a long time, but I should have you share at least a little bit about the shoes, because you mentioned that some of those back there are signed. So I feel like that would be an interesting one for our listeners.
Now, Nick, I don't want to disrespect your knowledge or anything like that. So I'm just going to say it how I know how to say it. And I guess I haven't a pass because I'm an Australian, so I'm not aware fully of your culture and stuff. So when I say, do you know who Mark Smith is from? Okay. So I'd had contact with Mark over Instagram DM, couple of conversations, and I found out that he designed these, Nike Air Force Ones. I can't remember the name. Is it El Dorado or something like that? I think it might be something. And I said, look, I would really like to know, how do I get a pair signed? And he goes, well, just send them to me. I'm like, that's what? Just send it to me, return postage, done. So that's exactly what he did. He said, Josh, keep up the passion. And then on this one, I've got Mr. Smith's signature. And as I explained it to him, one, how does a guy from Perth manage to make those connections? You know, I'm super grateful. But this is going to go to my daughter. Like, I don't plan to ever sell these things or anything, or even wear them. Like, my daughter, it's the storytelling what we talk about. Like, she will grow up to hear it. Long after I'm gone, these shoes will still exist, and she'll be able to either look at that or be proud that, you know, Dad was able to make some great connections. And that, again, exists to this. So this shoe was sold to me 2 years ago as the Marcus Jordan PE. It's the Air Jordan 17. This, I don't know if you can see this. They call this either a forest or crocodile green.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate for several years to have contact with Marcus, and this is a true story. Sometimes I can message Marcus and get on Instagram and get a reply back then quicker than people I've been friends with for 30 years that live here in my hometown. And that's truth. And I've proven that to some people here. And what I sent to him is the image of this. I said, look, there's a guy in Melbourne selling this shoe, claiming it to be your PE. is that true? He goes, I'm not sure, it could be mine or Jeff's. I said, well, if I buy it, any chance you can sign it? He said, absolutely. Just send it over, return postage. So you've got, I think that's Jeff there, and then you've got Marcus's signature there. And not just one shoe, but they signed both shoes. So the very first shoe the Jordan brand made for their sons, or his son, is this PE. And I guess for me to not only get it signed, but to put this shoe back in both of their hands that they hadn't probably seen for such a long time was pretty amazing. And this is a shoe I plan to take to Portland for It's the Stories That Matter, because I think this is a great story when you connect again where I am, just being able to send one DM and get that done. And look, I'll say it because I do mean it. Look, I've since learnt who the designer of this shoe is, and there's always an opportunity, hopefully, when I go over there, that he may be there, and I would certainly love to get that signature. And then I'm just going to be asking the question to anybody who listens, how do I get that last signature, which I'm sure you know who that is, because that's a full circle. We have the designer, we have the guy whose logo it is, and now we've got the two sons sign it.
Yeah.
And that's something that will stay with me and be a, I guess, a museum history telling piece as well.
Yeah.
I was telling you before, I have been fortunate to make some good friends in music and hip hop and stuff, because where I sit is not just the toy lane, but it obviously intersects sneakers, pop culture, music, stuff like that. So years ago, I've been fortunate to be friends with Vinny, or Uncle Vinny from Naughty by Nature, which is my first and favorite hip hop band ever. And they released the Naughty by Nature Ewing collaboration. And I love that colorway with the gum bottom. And again, that's something that he signed.
That's awesome.
For me, See You Down Under 2021 to Josh. So he signed that for me. And I guess the last signed shoe I can show you, which I'm sure you know about this one, is this one, the EQLZ. And again, just reaching out to Aaron saying, oh man, I love this shoe. I want to buy one, but is there any chance you can sign it for me? And
yeah, yeah.
Look, nobody's ever said no to me. So that sort of creates a problem, because I'm super confident, not arrogant, but confident in asking for what I want. And there it is. It's the Stories That Matter. And then next month, I'm going to be there with the gentleman himself. And what we're doing now is relating and sharing stories, because it's stories that matter. So that's a bunch of cool shoes.
That's amazing, man. That's so cool. I mean, yeah, I your track record asking for signatures. I mean, I do think people can learn that. This isn't like a hack show, but like I think the flowers is pretty nice hack if you want to get somebody to respond to you if they're not responding.
Look, the lady, oh, I shouldn't say she, her name's Elena. Elena was the second lady I spoke to and told me about the first lady going annual leave and that, and was always very polite over the phone. And I thought, you know what? Yes, I want the answers, but I want to say and show gratitude. So, yeah, as I said, I rang a local florist and got some flowers delivered. Look, it certainly went down well, Nick, when I got the answers, you know what I mean? Like, I know how to show my respect, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to coerce or do anything. I'm just being respectful of people's time and efforts, you know what I mean? So those flowers certainly...
I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to throw a little of your own magic in there.
Man, you got to do what you got to do, Nick, you know what I mean? Like, and as I said, to have these shoes signed, like, I know some, obviously, sneakerheads and that, and I show them, and they're like, that's just insane that Mark would just say yes. And, you know, I said, well,
yeah.
I think if you treat people respectfully, if they see you for your authenticity and understand that who you are, I think when it does come time to either ask or to whatever it is, generally people will be willing and giving, because they sense that you're not trying to sell it, so you're not a reseller, or you're not trying to get. I just think, and you yourself would know as well, like as I've experienced with you, authenticity is and passion is very endearing and very easy to see. You don't have to be physically with somebody. You can get that across a video, maybe a message, a phone call, something like that. So I think I find myself very fortunate that, as I said, my stroke rate's 100%, but everything I've asked for has a special meaning. And the people who've done it know that I'm not going to get rid of it. You know, man, if I get the last two signatures on this shoe, man, that's a museum piece. Why would I want to get rid of it? You know what I mean?
Well, and as you were showing it, I'm sure people that are going to see this video are thinking, like, the shoe almost looks like it's perfectly set up to have those last two signatures.
Well, they've done the toe box, all right? So they've put the two signatures on the toe box. I think one could go that side. I'm not telling who to sign what side or what, but then one of the, and then that on one of those rotating, do you know what I mean? Like, just goes around.
Yep.
It's in pretty good nick for the age that it is. And look, I'm only going to do what God will allow me to do, Nick. So if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's certainly given me the courage to ask the right people the right questions. And to me, no is never a rejection. It's just a not now. So you're dealing with somebody that will circle back in a few months, come again. You know what I mean? Like, until you tell me to F off or don't bother me again,
yep,
I'm relentless. You know what I mean? That's how I got the answers for the toys. And now I could have backed off the first time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, after that lady didn't get back to me, I keep circling back, Nick. That's just in my DNA.
Yeah, man. Josh, this has been amazing to chat with you.
Likewise. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, I hope we get to do this again many, many more times.
For sure. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person this summer.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, just...
You can get a photo with the shoes, Nick. You can hold them yourself, you know?
Perfect. Sounds good. I will do that. Yeah.
I'll definitely bring in those. That's the pair I'm bringing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let everybody know where they can find you. And, you know, like, again, like, this won't be the last conversation. So I hope people understand, like, they got to come back and we're going to do this again, because I feel like I'm going to walk away from this. And this is another one of those things about the passion. I'm going to walk away from this and then I'll think of something. Oh, like, we got to talk about that. You're probably going to do the same thing. I think I should have mentioned this. And then we'll have this conversation a few weeks, and then we'll do it again.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. I mean, there's always details. Like, we've just surface leveled at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, But it's still been wonderful to share. I'm only on Instagram. I refused. I wanted to make it harder for myself to get to where I want to end up. And I've only chosen Instagram, which is joshua.devaney or the Michael Jordan Toy Historian. But please, for those that are interested, Google Michael Jordan's rarest toy and see what comes up, or Google my name. And it leads you to, thankfully, a whole, I don't know who works for Google, but they've made my life easy, because when I start working with new people, and they say, what are you interested in, or what do you do? I'd say, look, just Google my name and just, it will show you everything. Like, it's wonderful. You know what I mean? I need to put that, actually, Nick, that's what I need to do as well. I need to get a website set up and then put all that together and then have like a virtual tour through my collection, so you can go in like a museum.
There we go. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Just joshua.devaney at Instagram. And look, big shout out again. Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here and speaking with you. And I certainly look forward to meeting up in Portland. And to anybody out there watching that, I guess my biggest hope is that you find yourself what Nick and I are doing, which is your own passion, you know, your own interest, your own hobby, and let that be the thing that carries you through the good days and the bad. And hopefully you'll be of service to others and you can share and inspire people, which is the greatest joy.
Absolutely. Perfect way to end. Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. If you want more insights into the sneaker world, I've started a newsletter called the Sneaker Newsletter to share my knowledge of over two decades experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link below or go to thesneakernewsletter.com. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.